threshold. You young people... He stopped. Death was looking at him thoughtfully, as if he was trying to remember his face. Look, said Golder. Just repeat that bit again, will you? The disc will be what?
Destroyed. Can I go now? I left my drink.
Hang on, said Golder hurriedly. By Chililiki and Orizoni and so forth. What do you mean, destroyed?
It's an ancient prophecy written on the inner walls of the Great Pyramid of Tsort. The word destroyed seems quite self-explanatory to me.
That's all you can tell us?
Yes.
But Hogswatch Night is only 2 months away.
Yes.
At least you can tell us where Rincewind is now. Death shrugged. It was a gesture he was particularly well built for.
The forests of Skund, Rimwoods of the Ramtop Mountains.
What is he doing there?
Feeling very sorry for himself.
Oh.
Now may I go?
Golder nodded distractedly. He had been thinking wistfully of the banishment ritual which started, Begone, foul shade, and had some rather impressive passages which he had been practicing, but somehow he couldn't work up any enthusiasm. Oh, yes, he said. Thank you, yes. And then, because it's as well not to make enemies even among the creatures of the night, he added politely, I hope it is a good party. Death didn't answer. He was looking at Spold in the same way that a dog looks at a bone, only in this case things were more or less the other way round. I said, I hope it is a good party, said Golder loudly.
At the moment it is. I think it might go downhill very quickly at midnight.
Why?
That's when they think I'll be taking my mask off.
He vanished, leaving only a cocktail stick and a short paper streamer behind. There had been an unseen observer of all this. It was, of course, entirely against the rules, but Trumon knew all about rules and had always considered they were for making, not obeying. Long before the eight mages had got down to some serious arguing about what the apparition had meant, he was down in the main levels of the university library. It was an awe-inspiring place. Many of the books were magical, and the important thing to remember about grimoires is that they are deadly in the hands of any librarian who cares about order, because he's bound to stick them all on the same shelf. This is not a good idea with books that tend to leak magic, because more than one or two of them together form a critical black mass. On top of that, many of the lesser spells are quite particular about the company they keep, and tend to express any objections by hurling their books viciously across the room. And of course there is always the half-felt presence of the things from the dungeon dimensions, clustering around the magical leakage and constantly probing the walls of reality. The job of magical librarian, who has to spend his working days in this sort of highly charged atmosphere, is a high-risk occupation. The head librarian was sitting on top of his desk, quietly peeling an orange, and was well aware of that. He glanced up when Trumon entered.
"I'm looking for anything we've got on the Pyramid of Chut," said Trumon. He'd come prepared. He took a banana out of his pocket.
The librarian looked at it mournfully, and then flopped down heavily on the floor. Trumon found a soft hand poked gently into his, and the librarian led the way, waddling sadly between the bookshelves. It was like holding a little leather glove. Around them the books sizzled and sparked, with the occasional discharge of undirected magic flashing over to the carefully placed earthing rods nailed on the shelves. There was a tinny blue smell, and just at the very limit of hearing the horrible chittering of the dungeon creatures. Like many other parts of Unseen University, the library occupied rather more space than its outside dimensions would suggest, because magic distorts space in strange ways, and it was probably the only library in the universe with Mobius shelves. But the librarian's mental catalogue was ticking over perfectly. He stopped by a soaring stack of musty books and swung himself up into the darkness. There was the sound of rustling.